In this segment, we're going to explore your innate relationship with two universal archetypes that are essential to envision. The main issue we all have is fragmentation of the psyche due to various experiences that tell us we're not whole. From being taught not to feel things or that we're inherently imperfect and flawed, we've got a lot to work with. Lots of things about ourselves we think we've lost. What do you do with a client who claims they've lost trust, lost their self-worth, lost their ability to say no, lost faith in God, lost love, lost confidence ad infinitum? Where are those pieces they've lost? Well, energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be shaped and moved. If everything is energy, where do the lost pieces of our consciousness go? When I wrote my book, The Map, Finding the Magic and Meaning in the Story of Your Life, I chose to write it as if it was a simple fairy tale of self-discovery. In it, I talk about the fact we have three universal allies. The neutral observer self was called the Wizard of Awareness. You're already working with this archetype, so he doesn't need to be introduced. And you've met the goblin. Now meet the twins, the bone collector and her sister, the gentle gardener. To help you understand it and the poetry of it, here's an excerpt from my book, The Map. The Bone Collector. The bone collector is an old woman who lives on the island of broken dreams, a place accessible from the valley of loss and the vandalized house. When you've been violated and are in the vandalized house feeling vulnerable and hurt, it appears that someone took your power, but that's not actually the case. In fact, your violator has merely rendered your power invisible, and you have unwittingly conspired in this illusion. The bone collector knows this. Whenever you're betrayed, mistreated, or taken advantage of, you lose something of value. It may be your innocence or your ability to trust. It may be your dignity and sense of self-worth. After I was raped, I couldn't bear to think about the bad choices I'd made in my inebriated state. I'd ignored my friend's warnings about the bar and the men who congregated there because I had such a powerful need to see myself as daring and rebellious. After accepting a ride home from three men who took advantage of the situation, not only was I too terrified to fight back, but afterward I didn't report the assault. To avoid my feelings of shame and guilt, I eroticized the experience and then connected myself to these men later on. The trauma bonded me to them as I could not accept that I had been so violated. And I began to act from the deep, dark belief that I was damaged goods. I re-traumatized myself again and again by making more bad choices about dangerous men, drinking, and dicey situations. If only I'd known to visit the land of the bone collector who would accept me and care for me. I had no idea that deep within me were the bones I had lost, all carefully guarded by this ancient, kind soul who would make sure they were there for me when I was ready to reclaim them. I had to love and forgive the girl whose need for the illusion of invulnerability caused her to walk into a dangerous situation and keep returning to that place in one form or another. The bone collector who tends to all that we fear is lost is an aspect of Mother Earth. Like Laloba and other creatures in indigenous myths retold by Clarissa Pinkola Estes in Women Who Run With the Wolves, the bone collector is the aspect of nature that ensures that nothing is ever truly lost. Nature is the great recycler, finding a use for everything. What we lost may change form, but it is always there. As Estes writes, and I quote, "In archetypal symbology, bones represent the indestructible force. They do not lend themselves to easy reduction. They are, by their structure, hard to burn, nearly impossible to pulverize. In myth and story, they represent the indestructible soul spirit. We know the soul spirit can be injured, even maimed, but it is very nearly impossible to kill. You can dent the soul and bend it. You can hurt it and scar it, but you can leave the marks of illness upon it and the scorch marks of fear, but it will not and it does not die. For it is protected by Laloba in the underworld, and she is both the finder and the incubator of the bones. The bone collector has a sacred junkyard where there is no junk, only what she has salvaged and what she knows has value. Others see only bones dead and brittle. She sees their potential and can breathe life back into them. She does this by holding the bone to her lips and singing a magical song. Then she hands the revivified bone to you so that you can bring it back into your body, into the body of your life. It will strengthen your skeleton and your spine, the structures that keep you together and moving forward on this adventure. Whenever you doubt your strength, remember that whatever the bone you may have lost or perhaps never have claimed, you can find it on the island of broken dreams, where it was left by the goblin who was born from your pain. You can ask the bone collector to return it to you, gladly. She will sing it back to life and celebrate its return to you. Gladly, she will sing it. She will sing it back to life and sing it again and celebrate its return with you. You have to ask, though, as she springs to life only when you're willing to face the truth about the past. With the bone reincorporated into yourself, you become whole again. The Gentle Gardener. The bone collector's twin sister is the Gentle Gardener. She, too, is an aspect of Mother Earth. She expresses love and cares about all that matters to you. With her green thumb, she can make anything grow because she infuses it all with life force. What is it that you want her to give life to? Is it your anger or your dreams? Take care what you plant. The Gentle Gardener makes no judgments, however, so she will apply her a skill to anything you choose to plant, whether it's an apple tree, a fragrant rosebush, thistles and weeds. She'll ensure that it grows. She'll make no distinction about what to nurture unless you ask her to, for all seeds are precious to her, even the ones that yield poisonous fruit. She knows that everything that grows in the garden can have value that isn't apparent upon first glance. The Gentle Gardener is helped by the garden gnomes who live under the earth and watch over what is still a seed in the stage of potential. The Gentle Gardener knows exactly where each one is planted, which soil is rocky and which is deeply fertile. She knows how to work with any terrain to make your flowers grow. In the harvest land, the Gentle Gardener makes sure the leaves are tuning into the right colors. And in the summer meadow, she is in charge of the sun and the rain. She knows when the carpet of violets will reveal itself at the base of the maple tree and sends the gentle breezes that spread the wispy seed pods of the dandelions. The Gentle Gardener personifies patience and acceptance because she knows that what is dormant will come back to life, and what is vital and supple will someday become dead and brittle and then break down into nourishment for the soil. Like her sister, the bone collector, the Gentle Gardener lets nothing go to waste. In any landscape, from the frozen land to the storm fields, she can find something to use in her garden. She will always be able to locate places for you to plant seeds because she knows that grass can sprout from a crack in cement, and life can flourish in the crevices of a dead tree lying on the forest floor. The Gentle Gardener will caution you to take care where you tread, because underneath the earth there are things still unformed. She knows the potential of any landscape and knows that you have planted things that must be nourished and protected. You can confide in her about your secret desire to make money by following your passion, and she'll smile knowingly and point to a tiny seedling you'd overlooked. She'll tell you that she's been caring for it while you've wandered from place to place looking for the support that was here all along. She knows how to help you grow your ability to express yourself through dance and movement as you let go of your relationship to your body as something that has been damaged or has betrayed you. She reminds you that she's able to do this because she has a sister who has been guarding that lost part of you that loved your skin, your belly, and your physical form, integral to who you are. The Gentle Gardener's wisdom is boundless, and she is happy to explain the rhythm of the seasons and teach you how to feel them in your blood and your bones so you don't rush or resist change. Look for her when you're lost or worried, feeling pressured or stuck in procrastination. She'll listen to all you have to say and share her insights with you. Don't ask her to change the elements of the landscape, though, for she's the one who ensures its integrity. She knows that a desert needs heat and spiny cacti, and that a jungle needs humidity and a dense green canopy. She'll help you find peace and wisdom in this land, but she won't collude with you in your denial of it. The gentle gardener in the field of dreams. Your thoughts and desires are like seeds scattered across the soil and either left to grow wild or tended to by an unseen hand. The gentle gardener can teach you how to nurture the fragile shoots and care for the earth, and she'll exhort you not to sit idly waiting for your plants to grow. Listen to her and you'll avoid the Listen to her and you'll avoid the ghost lands of nostalgia and wishful thinking. If you plant a seed, its growth will be determined by the conditions of the environment, as well as your attention to its welfare. There's an invisible energy exchange that always moves behind the scenes to support the life path of the seed. The ideas you have about who you are in the world and where you think you're supposed to be going are similar. The harvest occurs when the plants in the field mature and are ready to bear fruit. You cannot hasten the seasons of growth by force or by wanting everything according to your wishes. You plant the seed and move on to other things, allowing life to have its wonderful, mysterious way in its own time. Much is going on behind the scenes under the ground. My father used to say that if I water the seed of every thought, every dream I plant in the ground of my life, often enough, it will develop into strong, rooted acts and ideas. He said those seeds encapsulate the pure potential of energy that would then grow and thrive, strengthened by an accompanying belief until it was visible in my outer life. You will reap what you sow is a biblical saying rich with wisdom. Our subconscious minds store many seeds, and we unwittingly plant them along with the ones of our conscious choices. We sometimes end up with weeds because the seeds we plant consciously aren't strong enough, and sometimes our map determines what will be able to grow in our field of dreams. Now we're going to do a process, so get comfortable, and we will meet the bone collector and the gentle gardener, and then you'll learn how to connect to your own personal allies to help you move forward and to achieve your highest goals.